Patrick Murphy. Patrick.
Hey, Ryan. We obviously, a few of us were just out there. Noticed G. Scott, it seemed to be working with the tight ends. I wanted to ask about that move and kind of how that came about and how much he's been doing with that group.
Yeah. You know, G kind of came to us and thought about, you know, having a conversation about, you know, possibly doing some tight end stuff. And, you know, we thought that it was a great idea. And, you know, he's a very mature young man who, you know, sees a future in that for him. Now, whether, you know, we kind of go full time with it or not, we'll see. But, you know, he's got the right idea on this thing. He has the right frame. He's very, very athletic. And you know, he thinks that, you know, Kevin Wills can really teach him how to block. And he wants to do it. So we're very, very excited about it. We think it's a huge opportunity for him and excited about where it's going to go.
All right. We'll go next to Bill Landis, The Athletic. Bill.
Hey, Ryan. DeMario taking some snaps on the defensive side. Is that because you're short at corner? Did you have that idea before you got short at corner? And just what do you maybe like about him on that side?
You know, he's the defensive guys have been really excited about him. He's really showing up in practice. This is something that he kind of brought up again. It's so cool when you see somebody bring it to you as opposed to a coach, you know, bring it to the player. And, you know, kind of started off early on and you know, the guys on defense saw him do a few drills and kind of caught their eye right off the bat. And so he's been building and learning. It takes time to change positions like that. I know he's kind of, you know, done some different things for us on offense, but this is a huge opportunity for him. And, you know, kind of playing in that nickel spot right there is something that he's shown some good flashes early on. He's got to keep learning, but he's had a great offseason, probably the best offseason he's had. You know, tremendous, you know, kind of feedback from Mick and strength and conditioning. And so we're excited about it. And he's shown good leadership as an upperclassman. So we're gonna find out through the end of spring if this is something that's real. But all indications early on is that he's going to be able to help us on the defensive side.
All righty. Well, next, Nathan Baird, Cleveland.com.
Ryan, I just want to go back to G for a second. Is there something about his frame that you guys think project that he could add the kind of size that you would want at tight end? Because obviously everybody else that you use there, typically in that 240, 250 pound range. Was that part of why it makes sense for him that he could add that size in a way another receiver might not be able to?
Yeah. I mean, we look at their the way they're built and certainly their knee size and size of their legs is usually a pretty good indication of how much weight they can put on and how much they can handle. But he was doing everything he could to stay at 215. And so he actually said that. He says, you know, I'm fighting every day to be at 215. He says, if I just, you know, have a few Big Macs, I can get to 225 in a heartbeat. So, we think that his growth potential, you know, fits that of a tight end.
All right, we'll go next to Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch.
All right. First of all, thanks for letting us watch practice today. Question about the cornerbacks. Obviously, without Cam Brown, which we knew about, and now Seven Banks, how much concern is there about that spot, especially considering some of the struggles last year? And how good do you feel about the secondary in general right now?
Yeah, I think we have some good young guys that are showing up. I'm very pleased with the development of those young guys. I think this is a great opportunity for them to have to step up into the spring, you know, and that's kind of the best way to do it as opposed to sitting in the back with the twos and the threes. You know, they're getting the reps with the ones. And so they're going against Chris and they're going against Jackson and Garrett and Jameson and all those guys. So this is great work for them. And, you know, we'll get Seven back and we'll get Cam back in the preseason and get them going. So this is great for us because it's building our depth in that area. As you know, corner is an area that we need depth at. And so we do have some young guys there, but this spring so far has been good in that area. And those guys are getting better because they're practicing and they just haven't played a lot. They haven't practiced a lot. And so I'm excited about that. And I'm excited about the next half of spring.
Has anyone jumped out?
No one in particular. It's still too early. We actually, you know, went at it pretty good here. We actually tackled to the ground and had a live to the end of practice. I don't know if we probably went 50 plays. And so that's going to be a great tell on this thing to find out, because we went out and played football, what that looked like and how those guys did. We're going to grade the film coming off the weekend and get a feel for where we're at. So today was a big day. We're going to get on that film and see where guys are at.
Thanks.
All right. Let's go next to Dan Hope from 11 Warriors.
Hey, Ryan, it didn't look like Chris Olave was out there at practice today. Is he all good, or is there a reason why he wasn't practicing?
Yeah, no, there were a couple guys that just have, you know, a couple like stomach bugs and just different things. You know, they're all being tested for COVID, so it's nothing COVID-wise. They're all negative there, but there's a few guys there that have just got a couple things that have been going around the team, non-COVID related. So, and that was just, you know, for Chris, he just took the day off because of that.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, let's go next to Clay Hall, WSYS.
Ryan, I thought I heard you say to the group before you started, hey, it's an important day, big day for those of you who haven't played. Were you talking about G. Scott or DeMario McCall, and did you see what you wanted to see out of maybe some players who have not played?
Yeah, I thought there was some good things that flashed. Again, I want to take a look at the film and see exactly what that was. Sometimes your perception on the field is different than, you know, when you get to the film room. But there were some good things out there. I thought in practice or in the scrimmage today that the running backs ran really hard. That's what I saw. I thought at times the D-line really came off the ball and created some sacks on third down. So there was some good things out there. And no, I mean, I was talking to everybody. You know, there are some guys out there that have some game reps and a body of work underneath them. You know, Zach Harrison's played a lot of football here. Chris Olave's played a lot of football, Rucker. So that we have those guys, but we got a lot of guys that haven't. I mean, Thayer Munford's played a lot of football here. Antoine Jackson started to, you know, build up a body of work. Even Proctor, you know, is build up a body of work. But there's a lot of guys that haven't, and they have to play, and we have to play. And the only really way to do that is to go play. And that's what we did today. And I think we came out pretty healthy. So that was good. And a lot to, you know, kind of work on as we head into next week.
Was that like a little mini scrimmage today or?
Yeah. We went in kind of 10 to 12 play spurts, and then we took a break. And then we came back, played, you know, 10 to 12 plays and took a break and kind of did that for about four or five series. And it was good. I think the guys enjoyed it. It was less individual and group work and more just playing football.
Thanks.
Yep. All right. Next we'll go to Tony Gerdeman, Buckeye Scoop.
Ryan, about the scrimmaging, I know you wanted more game time or game-like situations, and the focus on the fundamentals is limited. That are you? Do you wrap up now the scrimmaging through the rest of practice?
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit. Do I what the rest of the?
Are spring? You ramping up the scrimmaging now through the rest of practice to build game-like situations?
You know, we'd like to do it some more. We'd like to tackle and do some more of that for sure. We have to be smart though, you know, in terms of, you know, keeping guys healthy, but. So there's a fine line there. Next week, we're out two practices with helmets and two practices with pads. And so we'll see how we come off of this weekend. But yeah, we'd definitely like to do something like we did today again before the spring game.
All righty. Next up, we'll go to Tim May. Tim.
Yeah, Ryan, you know, maybe just because I wasn't paying attention before, but we haven't been in a practice for over a year now. And I'm just noticing there was a lot more of an up-tempo approach, like, you know, two DBs doing reps at once, quarterbacks throwing passes every 5 seconds and stuff. You know, y'all got in a little bit of the throwing before we were ushered out and stuff. And I'm just wondering, is that sort of a new approach that you brought to the table to get as many reps as possible, get guys through the canal as fast as possible every day? I mean, just what has changed, I guess, as much as anything else, and just about the dynamics of running practice in the spring?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've always tried to get a lot of reps and be efficient with our time. I think today, especially, one thing that we have done this year that maybe is a little bit different is that, you know, we've had our individual periods that we're going 4 to 6 A to B. That hasn't changed. But then we also have teach periods where we're kind of catching our breath. We're doing individual, but it's kind of a walkthrough, kind of a teach period where we're not going 4 to 6 A to B. And what that's allowed us to do, I think, is sustained throughout practice. I think when it's 4 to 6 A to B from the minute practice starts all the way to the end of practice, you just get worn out. Today, the conversation was, let's get going early in practice. Let's get moving around. Let's, you know, get going. Let's get warmed up, because then we're going to be scrimmaging here pretty quick. So I think you probably saw some of that urgency this morning.
All righty. Next up, we'll go to Jeremy Birmingham, Letterman Row. Jeremy.
Ryan, this week when we saw Jonathan Cooper working out at linebacker in the pro day, and we see G. Scott moving to, you know, maybe looking at tight end. We see Cameron Martinez and Denzel Burke, who were playing offense in high school, starting to, you know, get it on defense. At what point do you guys as coaches have a responsibility to look at players' futures and their best position for, you know, football future versus what's best for your team? I mean, how do you guys balance that in conversation with these kids that, you know, Coop was a five-star defensive end coming out of high school, but now, you know, looks like an NFL future, maybe a linebacker. When do you have those conversations and how important is it that kids are receptive to it?
Yeah. Well, I think for us, and my approach is that, you know, I want to do what they feel comfortable with, you know, and if they're not comfortable playing a position, then we won't do it. Like, it wasn't like I told DeMario Call, you have to go to defense, or G Scott, you have to move to tight end. Because if their heart's not into it, it's not going to work. Now there's times like with Cade Stover, we talked about, you know, playing, moving to tight end. And that was something I brought to his attention, that I saw some skills in him that I thought really translates well to tight end, really good ball skills, body control. He's got toughness at the point of attack, his body size, and what I saw in his frame. And he agreed. But my whole conversation was, listen, I don't want to do this. We don't want to do this if you're not totally into it. And so at the end, it's up to them. They're the ones that have to play. And so if they're not into it, then we're not going to do that. So, you know, when it comes down to, like, you know, need for the team. Yeah. If we ever get into a situation where we need someone to do something, that's a different deal. And that's certainly something has really gone wrong if we get that desperate where guys have to go play other positions. So I think sometimes guys look at his opportunity as well. You know, what is my best opportunity to get on the field? And then, like you said, you know, where's my highest ceiling in terms of position? So try to, you know, get as much feedback as we can from the player.
All righty, we'll do two more real quick. First one, we'll go to Rob Aller. Rob.
Ryan, when you have three quarterbacks who have never thrown a pass in a college game, I guess you could look at it two ways. One, maybe there's some sleepless nights as a coach. Do you also get a sense of excitement personally that you have a blank canvas that you can kind of put a stamp on these guys and groom them from, you know, nothing into what they can be?
I think I get excited about that sometimes, you know, when I'm by myself in my office, but when I'm on the field and they're going through growing pains, I know I'm not that excited about it because there's a lot that comes with that. And you just have to take a deep breath because most of the time they're making mistakes for the first time. And as much as I just want to jump down their throat, they've done it for the first time. They've never done that before. They've never physically seen a blitz off the edge and had to react that way. Now, if they see it again and they make the same mistake, now we have a problem. And so a lot of deep breaths. I'll give Justin credit. You know, when he got here, he learned very, very quickly. You know, he didn't have the same luxury that Dwayne had, that, you know, Joe had, that, you know, even JT had, where, you know, these guys were in the program for a while. I know Cardell had when he was here, and they kind of learn as they go. You know, that's not the case with these guys. They don't have that luxury. They got to go. And the other hard part of that is they didn't have a full year of development last year. And then Kyle just got here. So a lot of deep breaths, but they're doing good. They're grinding at it. They want to get better. They have the right attitude. And I'm excited about all their futures.
All righty. We'll wrap it up today with Austin Ward, Letter Monroe.
I'm going to guess that you're getting pretty tired of talking about Justin and the weird things that are being said about him. But you went from, okay, well, he doesn't make enough reads to now this week that he doesn't work hard enough. I wonder what it's been like for you to see, hear, read. I know you don't care all that much about it, but I know you want to back up your guy here and that it's got to be frustrating for you to hear this.
Yeah. When I think of Justin Fields, I think of somebody who got off the field against Clemson and for the next year just grinded towards getting back to that same situation and winning that game. It started with the off season. He got in here and he was one of the hardest workers in the weight room with Mick. Then it went to the quarantine. And during that time, Mick Marotti actually said that he inspired Mick. Justin Fields inspired Mick Marotti. He changed his diet. His work ethic was off the charts. He came in great shape. Then we get here and the preseason, you know, gets canceled. The season gets canceled. He doesn't opt out and go to the NFL draft. Now, some guys did. So, you know, when someone says, you know, I don't know, I've heard all kinds of different things. Like, I don't know what people have said, what they haven't. I read stuff on my phone. I don't quite understand any of that stuff. And love for football. I mean, there's a lot of guys that opted out. I mean, are they saying the same thing about those guys who didn't want to play? And then And then now he actually, not only does he not opt out, he fights to get the season back. He has a petition. He goes on national TV and fights to get the season back. Then he comes out and plays really well. And, you know, he had a couple bad plays there in the Indiana game, but then comes and overcomes the adversity. Like, to me, if everything just goes smoothly, that's a red flag, because you've never gone through adversity before. He has been through adversity. He had to go through the transfer at Georgia. He had to come in and earn his way here. And then, you know, that game in Indiana was tough. And then, you know, the Northwestern game was kind of clunky. And then he comes back in that game and throws 6 touchdown passes, gets drilled in his back. Most people would have begged out at that point. He didn't. He comes back in a play later, throws a touchdown pass, and goes on and completes the goal of what he set the year before, beating Clemson again in that same game. And so all I know about Justin Fields is he's been one of the hardest working guys. He's one of the most competitively tough guys. And when he sets his mind to something, he gets it done. So there's a lot of talk out there, and I guess maybe they think they know him better than I do. But I know this, whoever's going to draft Justin Fields is going to get a great player and a great person. And when he sets his mind to something, he gets it done. And I think the world of him, and I'm just upset that some people would say that about him. The crazy thing about Justin, it didn't bother him when I talked to him about it. He said, let the people talk, because he knows eventually someone's going to draft him and he's going to have to go play. And all the talk goes away, and then you just go, you know, prove it on the field. So that's what I have to say about that.
All righty. Well said, Coach. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you Monday.